Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are
East West Audio Body Shop.
Well, we try to bring you the best information we can on our show, and this week is going to be no different. We're going to be having a voice acting master's roundtable that you can participate in. And we've got some of the best voice acting coaches on the face of the earth, like Elaine Clark, Ellie Rae Hennessy, Randy Kaye, and the amazing Mark Cashman. They'll be joining us live to talk about the latest trends and techniques in voice acting, and we want you to participate.
That's right. So if you'd like to be in the hangout with us, just send your question in the ewabshop@gmail.com. If we pick your question, we'll have you join us in the hangout, and you can be there live with us and have fun with the group.
That's East West Audio Body Shop, this Monday night, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And we'll see you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. All right. All right. Well, thanks for sticking with us tonight. We're still trying to find Mark Cashman. He's out there somewhere. We know he's not far from George down there, you know, up in Santa Clarita. And if he figured, we got to figure, he's got to find the right Google account. So everybody call him and tell him to get on the right Google account.
Mm-hmm.
if you've ever dealt with this on a Google Hangout.
It's tonight, a party.
That's true. We've got a great show for tonight because we've got some of the finest and hottest coaching babes around.
I love it when you say that, too. They said before the show, please call us hot babes.
That's okay, right.
So
yeah,
I wrote that down.
It was in the contract.
Note taken.
Yes, but we're gonna have a voice acting master's roundtable tonight, and of course we'll invite your questions. We have a couple of things that we want to talk about and discuss amongst ourselves, and of course you can comment along in the chat room if you happen to be in there. And if you don't know how to get in the chat room, all you have to do is, if you're watching this on the ewabs .com site, right next to my face where I am talking right now. To the left of my face, if you're looking at the screen, it says chat now. Click on that and go into the chat room. Not hard at all. All right. You know, stuff is not rocket science, unless you're Mark Cashman. Anyway, before we get into this, now, there was this thing today about Skype coming out with this new thing.
Mm-hmm.
This Super X Pro, whatever
it's
it
called,
is.
It's called Skype TX.
Skype TX, that's what mm-hmm. it is.
Yep.
So, another entry.
Someday. Someday, for some undetermined amount of money. So that's not really much of an announcement, if you ask me. We've all seen that coming a mile freaking. I think I've been seeing that come a mile from a mile away. So the fact that they're announcing it now, it's like, all right, you guys, about time, you know. But it's, you know, competition for our other friends at Source Elements and
Is good.
It's good for the consumer as long as we can get everybody on the same page as to which one we should be using.
Right.
And then because none of them talk to each other. So.
Right. Well, but they're all easy to access, and that's the most important thing.
And cheap.
Well, why don't we get the show on the road here tonight and introduce our guests, and hopefully Mark will show up eventually, unless his cleaning lady turns something else again. That's usually what causes this. We get calls from Mark, like, you know, late at night going, suddenly nothing's working. The cleaning lady must have been here and turned a dial. It's like, okay.
That's why some of my clients have the most disgusting studios on the planet.
Stay out of there.
Yeah, they'd never get cleaned ever until I show up.
All right. Well, let's introduce our wonderful guest tonight. Starting from left to right, we have, and now Randy's gone, of course. But well, let's start with the two we got, and then maybe she'll come back in. We've got Elaine Clark joining us from San Francisco, California. Elaine, good evening.
Good evening. So glad to talk to you.
Good to have you on. This is your first foray onto East West Audio Body Shop.
Is. I've only watched a few of your shows, and now I get to be part of this. Isn't this fun?
and now you won't miss another episode.
Now we're having fun.
Never, ever. Yes. Every time I see a mustache, I think of you. And, of course, George and I are now friends, so.
We're trumpet buddies.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. Joining us now, are you, now, where in Connecticut are you, Randy? It's Trumbull, Connecticut, or around there somewhere? Randy, can you hear me?
She might have her mic muted.
Okay.
Nope. We have a nice picture.
I'm in Trumbull, but I'm having really bad connections.
We can hear you, though. That's the most important thing.
Let it bow out and come back.
Okay.
All right. Bring Mark Cashman with you if you find him. And joining us from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Okay. All right. See you in a minute.
Bye. Hi. Bye, Randy. Is the one and only Ellie Ray. Ellie Ray, good evening.
Hi, gorgeous. Good evening, everybody.
How's it going there? Is it raining up in Toronto like it's raining here in Buffalo?
Yeah, oh, man. Pouring rain. But I'm just so excited about my technical prowess tonight. I'm just astounded. I feel like I'm like at the top of the heap.
You were the first one in.
You were the first one in. You figured it out. And that's the most important thing.
That's unheard of for me.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-oh. Oh, Noah's out in the driveway. That's not a good sign.
I thought that was a joke. Okay,
No, no. Actually, I went to see Noah the other day. Good movie. Go see it.
Okay, thank you.
Good morality play, and you know, and it's you have to see it. Anything that Russell Crowe is in is generally pretty good. And you put Russell Crowe and Jennifer Connelly together, and it gets even better. And then you throw Anthony Hopkins in there, and it gets even better. And then Emma Thompson and Frank Langella. Nobody says, where was Frank Langella? Go see it. It's a great movie. Anyway.
Animals. Yeah.
And there is lots and lots of CGI animals. Let's talk about voice acting before everybody starts to get really bored here. You know, it's fascinating when we talk about voice acting, because that's what we do in why suddenly all my questions are gone. Oh, goodness gracious.
I got
anyway,
them.
You have them, but I know them. I know them from memory. The first question was, we want to talk about voiceover styles. And what are the popular voiceover styles today? And because everybody's like, well, What style do I fit in? And then there's always this thing about no announcers, guy next door you can have a beer with. Let's start with Elaine. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that every city has a different feel to how they write commercials and what their expectations are. And, you know, different ad agencies also have different styles. Some are more comedic, some are more very dry and very plain, and other ones are just big and in your face. So I think one of the issues that people have when they're reading copy is that they choose a wrong style on their, you know, for the script, and that's a tricky thing. So some are more stylized, more character driven. So I think finding the thing that's most appropriate for the commercial is one of the struggles and challenges that actors have to have. And that's why sometimes we like to submit two or three auditions for something and say, in case this style isn't what you wanted, how about this style? Because there's only so much we can get from the specs. Sometimes they give us way too much, and a lot of it is, I want a little bit of this and not that, and it's all over the place, and we have to then glean this information. So that's a little bit about style.
Okay. Ellie Ray?
I just find generally most voiceover participants want to dictate and perform at the microphone. They want to announce because they don't know what the other options might be. And I think stylistically, it's about being a responder, somebody who is not in a monologue but's in a dialogue. That's what we forget. And I just think that everybody is trying to dictate, and they can't help it. So style, to me, is about just naturally responding, whether that involves joy or whether you've got status or whether you're just a regular schmo next door. You know, it doesn't matter as long as you're responding and not displaying, performing, dictating, or announcing.
Randy? Unmute your mic, Randy.
Randy's struggling.
Now you got to unmute your mic. There's a little mic button right next to your window there.
I'm still trying to figure out why you all sound
You're
like.
Good.
I am unmuted.
You are good. Go
I
for
know.
It.
I am okay. unmuted, but I'm trying.
I can't hear her.
Well, she's gone again. She's
having bandwidth problems.
Bandwidth problems.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what, you guys? I watch a lot of Hangouts, and I listen to a lot of Hangouts, and every single one of them has the same friggin' problems. So yep. It's like we are not unusual.
We should probably try this one over Skype and see if we can get any better results with that.
Yeah, really. At this point.
Yeah, but then we'll lose Ellie Ray because she's like, "What? Now you're going to make me change again?"
I don't want
to. Oh my gosh, I can handle Skype.
Okay. Well, let's see if Elaine can get herself back in here. Anyway, so let's continue this a little bit more and see, now I'm getting confused. Let's continue this a little bit more with you know, changing styles is not easy. I mean, you have to be a really good actor to do that. You know, and a lot of people are like, well, I'm just me. And it seems the people who are just me seem to do very well at it, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, part of it is some things require more of a 3D environment, that you really have to build out the scene and see where things are and act the part. You know, the more real it is, the more you have to become part of this imaginary world that you've created where everything, you have an opinion. And it is very true that it's acting as reacting, and we're reacting in a dialogue, even though the other lines aren't written. And we have to figure out what's important. What some people do is that they get it becomes more about them and not about the client and not about the listener. And it's really important to know that whatever voice you're doing, whatever style, that it's about connecting with the person and motivating them to take action in some way, so that they're going to feel and take action. So if you form a certain shape with your body, that is part of your character. If you know how you approach the microphone, whether it's closer that you know, or further away, that's going to make a huge difference in the way we deliver as well, you know, stylistically.
And just to further that too, I agree with Elaine. I think, you know, because we don't think of ourselves as a team. We're at a microphone, usually in home studios or in studios alone, and there's a singular ness to what we do, and that can be problematic because there's a huge team of writers, directors, producers, agents, casting directors, everybody, including fellow voicers if it's a multi-voice spot, and your audience. So there's a huge team of people, and I think what happens is stylistically we forget that it's not singular. It's actually a vast, vast, vast team that we work with, and we tend to want to stylistically grab the ball for ourselves, and we forget that we've got a whole team that is playing the game, and you know, we don't have to always get the ball.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good point that she was making, because we have to know our job. Sometimes we're playing a character that's personifying the problem rather than giving the solution. Yeah. And so some people will then take that and try to make it real silly when it's not supposed to be silly. It's supposed to say, you are the problem and you represent, I'm representing you who has the same problem. So in other ones, they're knocking down the problem, say, hey, just do it now. Now we've seen what the problem is like, solve it. You know, with this announcer, you know, even though announcers are very real most of the time, but sometimes they are mock announcers, which are very fun. So that's when the Gary Owens thing.
We keep hoping that the classic announcer will come back, but the only time you ever get hired for something like that is like, we want the classic announcer.
Yeah, it's a caricature.
It's the mock
announcer. Yeah, the mock announcer.
Yeah. Randy, are you there?
I think so. I rebooted. How do I sound?
Yeah, oh, much better. Yeah, all right.
Okay. Yeah.
When did you reboot?
Okay, so I don't know what I missed, and I may be repeating what the other hot babes have said, but, you know, I have to say that I am one of these voice talents that still gets hired to do an announce read at times. It's not completely dead. Award shows, and it's not even mock. I mean, it's just real. If I'm, and this silver award goes to, I mean, it's still alive. You just have to realize that that announcer read is only appropriate if you're playing to a group, if that voiceover is going to play to a group and you've got to cut through, then it still does work. But I find the biggest thing with coaching is, and I think it's more of a style now, and again, forgive me if I'm repeating something, is that we as voiceover talents always must have a point of view about what we're talking about. We're not neutral. We're not newscasters. We're always commenting. We're either acting in the scene or commenting on the scene, but we always have to make it personal to the character we're playing, which may be a shade of us or might not, but we must have a point of view about what we're talking about. And I think that's relatively new in the last couple of decades, as opposed, you know, it used to be just, oh, you're excited or you're not, but you have to be proud of something or feel like something is really important or really heartfelt. And we have to know what we feel and also know what we want the listener to feel. And there's always that energy flow that goes back and forth with that invisible audience member. But there is still a place for the engaged announcer read.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because the business has changed so much in the last 10 years. I mean, let alone the last 3 or 5 years, there are now so many more people in the business. How does that change how you do what you do? Your thoughts on that? Who wants to go first on that?
I don't think it should change it at all. I think as we change and grow, our world changes and grows, and we change and grow with it, and we should adapt with it, and we should change with the times. And there are people that can't change with the times. That's when we get stuck. It's like being an actor. You can one role over and over and over again, or you can choose to adapt yourself to what is required. And I think, yes, it has changed. And I have definitely had to change with it. But the confidence that comes with the amount of time spent in it is all a safety jacket, if you want. It's, I think for me, I will choose any limiting factor. I'll risk everything because I have really nothing to lose at 35 years. I've already done it multiple times. But I think for people starting out, you know, as the times change and you're just coming into a time change, don't get locked into something you believe is your safety net, because it'll constantly change. Flavor of the month will change. It'll come full circle. We'll see that same kind of request for what they're asking for television and for radio. That's what I recognize. So I just say bend with the times.
Elaine?
Yeah, I think technologically things have changed a lot, but I think the core foundation of our performance is technique based, and then the styles and the way we do it, the attitude that's the flavor of the month changes with politics, with, you know, the situation of the world. I know that when just in the course of the last, I don't know, 20 years or something, you have, you know, the thing right at the height of the dot-com period in the late 90s, things were so, had so much attitude that people didn't really understand what they were talking about. And then they had the dot-com bust, and it was also very youth oriented at that time. And then there was the dot-com bust. And then of course we had 9/11. Then it went from being really snarky to very heartfelt, deeper announcer voices. And then after that, it kind of leveled the field with all different types of voices. They tried to then go, you know, the youth oriented stuff. They realized that there were still a lot of baby boomers out there, and, you know, we need our Depends, I guess. So, and our insurers and all the other.
And various other things. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Oops, I crapped my pants.
Whatnot. So yeah, anyway, so now they went, wow, that's still a big, big audience that needs a lot of stuff. So we can't discard people who are 50 plus. We need that group as well. So I think that one of the things that has happened in the course of time, that it sort of leveled the field of how, of what's youthful and what's not, and what's in between, and whether you have a youthful voice, but you might be older, or vice versa, how that can all fit into the whole picture. But attitudes change, styles of writing change, but technique pretty much stays the same.
And I think also on that note too, like women have moved into, like 30 years ago, I'm here to tell you, you know, the women were stupid mothers or sluts, you know, there was a kind of, that's how I was. And now you've actually got professionals that are female, which is kind of, mm-hmm. I know we're still not there yet, but I find that part pretty interesting. And politically, I think I've watched it change. We've gone from extreme political incorrectness to a straighter, more conscious way of looking at how we voice and who we are voicing and what characters we are voicing. And I think that that is a positive because we don't get away with what we got away with 30 years ago. That's for sure.
So how does one now you all work with, you know, with other voice talents. The one thing that I keep hearing always from everybody is do it differently. How do you do something different? I mean, everybody's going to read the script the same way a million times and they're going to be, oh, well, that guy sounds like that guy. What is it that you got to click in your brain to make it say, I'm going to just take another tack at this, even though, you know, as Mark would say, I have to speak for Mark because I know all his stuff. It's like, you know, the copy's not in stone. How do you change that up? What's a good technique to do that?
Well, I have a whole technique, but do you want to go ahead, Elaine? Because I just talked about it.
Well, that's okay. There's only one you. And you have, each person has their own personal history, and that includes opinions and stories and visualizations and all the other stuff. That's what we bring to the party of each of us being an individual. And there will be groups of people that have the same voice, and that's why they're going after that same voice. But if you can bring more of your personality to it and your opinion to it, that's what's going to make you stand out.
And I work with so many people internationally. This is not a Canadian thing. This is not an American thing. It's not a European thing. It's not an Asian thing. We tend to read left to right. We package words to a period, to a comma. We've learned how to read aloud. Unfortunately, for radio and television, we don't want to go. It's not a library. I don't need to be read to. As nice as I can make my sound, as I read. And I think structurally, you know, what we have to do is we have to alter certain words. I technically say, guys, okay, look, you are reading to a period. Take the punctuation out, stick it in somewhere else. And people get so confused by that. They get so overwhelmed with, no, the punctuation. There's so many teachers who go, oh, no, you read to that period, you underline there, you do that. I am a great, great believer in get rid of the punctuation. You will become unique if you stick a question mark in the middle of a qualifying statement. Because a qualifier, who cares if it's a qualifier? The statement's going to tell me, how much does it cost? $19.95. And you might as well get it now. Well, that's a qualifying. Well, you might as well get it now? Yeah. Well, I don't know. Change the pitch, change the speed, change the volume, change the emotion, change the rhythm. Just pick words and go rhythmically. I'm going to take those four words. I'm going to slam them together, and I'm going to elongate that word. Usually a preposition is where you're going to elongate. That's where you discover. A preposition tells you, if you don't know, technically, pick a preposition and elongate it, and you'll have some beautiful shape to your copy. But people don't tell you that because we're all like, make it your own. Well, people don't even know how to not read. They just don't know how to do it. So you have to think about where my discovery point is. My discovery point, I say, you know, what did you have for breakfast? And people go, what did I have for breakfast? I had coffee and two pieces of toast with peanut butter on it. I go, okay, so basically the response is, I had a cup of coffee. Your qualifier, you discover, you go, I had, or you repeat the question because you can't, you've got to think about what you want to tell me. It's the same as anything. If I say to you, tell me what's in your living room, you'll go, I have a cat. People don't launch and go, blah, 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 like in copy. So, you know, how do we discover? That's what our students need to know. How do you discover the response? Well, it's natural to us when somebody asks us a question, but when it's written down, you want to just say all the words in order to the period, and that's where we get into big trouble. So if you want it to be different, screw with pitch. Maybe I'm going to go, get out! In a word, you're going to pitch higher, you're going to pitch lower, you're going to slow it down, you're going to speed it up, you're going to rhythmically move it around, you're going to have different emotions, different volumes. On one word, you're going to get louder, on one, you're going to get softer. Those are the kind of things you have to technically play with. That's how you make it different, because every good performer can read those words beautifully together. Everybody can do a great job of that. And if you want to become uniquely you and take a lot of risks, then go in there and put your opinion in there. Do you have a bit of emotional truth where you can press in the chest? Maybe. Why not?
Absolutely.
There's tons of ways to do it to make yourself different, but people just don't know how.
I know. Well, then you got to find them out, write them all out and go, all right, which one am I going to do this time?
That's right. Just to technically do it to start, like just technically switch it around.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I agree with Ellie.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Elaine.
Well, no, I'll just say I agree with Ellie, but it's what our job, especially as coaches, is to put as much into our students' bag of tricks that we've learned from our own experiences that it's about constant change.
Yeah.
And if the same thing goes on for longer than 5 seconds, people are out of there. They don't 3 to 5 seconds max along one rhythm, one attitude, one melody, you know, one pitch, any of that other stuff. It's constant change in order for us to retain that information. And without that, it becomes, I like to say, it's Charlie Brown's teacher in our ear. Wah, 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 is all we hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here and throw the deck of cards up in the air and pick them up a little bit. And we'll be back with
Ellie Ray. Throw the duck up.
No. I can go find a duck. Why a duck? All right. Lane Clark, Ellie Ray, Randy Kay, and hopefully Mark Cashman will be with us right here at East West Audio Body Shop. So don't go anywhere.
Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
All righty. We're back here on East West Audio Body Shop. It's our first Voice Actors Masters Roundtable.
No wonder we changed that to Acting Roundtable.
Yes, because it's certainly not the technical roundtable.
And Voice Actors Masters Roundtable just didn't seem to ring
Actors
roll off.
Masters Roundtable.
Say that five times fast.
There's an awful lot going on. You guys have no idea what's happening to make this show happen.
Voice Actors Masters Roundtable. Voice Actors Masters Roundtable.
Voice Actors Masters Roundtable. Whatever.
All right.
Say it 10 times faster than that.
Yeah.
All right. We've got Elaine Clark, Randy Kay, who's in and out, but we've guaranteed we're going to throw a rope around her so she can't go anywhere.
I'm on my iPad now. Is this better?
It's working.
It's working, at least. That's
awesome.
George is right.
I can't hear her.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with my computer. You just all sounded like, I don't know.
I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for coming back.
I'll try to stay at the party.
Okay, well, we can hear you, and that's the most important thing.
Okay.
All right.
John Cashman's calling me on Skype.
Okay, well, let's see if we can at least get his... Let's just wait while Mark calls in. Mark Cashman, ladies and gentlemen.
How you doing, Mark?
Hey, George. How are you doing, bud?
Good.
Okay, well, since you're talking to a technologically retarded person here.
You're on the air, by the way.
I can't hear you, but...
Well, I heard him say technologically.
It would be no...
No, actually, he said something much more direct than that. Anyway, while he's talking to Mark and telling him exactly where he needs to go... Anyway, I came up with this script.
I'm
hopefully everybody can find
website.
It here.
I'm
George is
going to
pop it up on the screen in a little while. It's a script. It's a typical audition. So,
all right, hang on, Mark.
Is this our workaround?
Right, what do we got
hang
here?
On a sec, because everything Mark is saying is on the air, and you guys are talking exactly at the same time. So we have two different storylines traveling on the top of each other. You guys can't hear Mark because Mark's on Skype. I'm in the Google Hangout. This doesn't work this way. So let's take a moment here. Take a beat. Mark, did you install Chrome?
I did. Did install Chrome.
Did you log into your Google Plus account?
I cannot. I can't. I did go to my Google Plus. I don't even know how to get there.
I'm gonna have Anthony or Catherine call you. I'm gonna give them your phone number because I can't tech support you and host the show simultaneously.
I totally understand.
I'm going to have one of them walk you through it. Maybe Anthony can help you out. He's in our chat room. All right, I'll have him call you.
Okay, so thank you so much.
You got
I appreciate
it. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
He needs a new cleaning lady.
I got
There's
too
no
many hats, and I can't wear them all at once.
That's right.
Patrick Sweeney just said hi.
Oh, hi, Pat. Yeah. Anyway, so I got this script today, and it's a typical audition mumbo jumbo. It says, looking for a supernatural voiceover with normal intonation, conversational, eloquent, no radio DJ, salesperson, sports announcers, game show hosts. I hate that. How do you, it's like, okay.
Regular disaffected guy.
Right. And then they give you copy that is.
Introducing.
Yeah. How do you do that?
But wait, there's more.
Anyway, so, but it's, you can't really tell exactly what they want. How do you make that determination? I mean, well, I'll take a shot at this, and you guys have the script in front of you.
Yeah.
I sent it. I'll tell you. Okay. Let me take. I'll just read through it once, and then you can all just like pounce on me if you want, which doesn't sound as bad as it sounds. Anyway, okay. So, all right. So there are 1,440 minutes in the day. 1,040 minutes to work, love, sleep, play. Imagine what an extra 5, 10, or 20 minutes each day could mean for you. Imagine how it could change your life. Now, imagine a world where everyone had those extra minutes. Right now, we're helping the world's biggest cities give their residents those extra minutes back. We make order out of the seeming chaos, and we help cities make smart decisions about transit, decisions that save time and money for all of us. We are the change urban dwellers have been waiting for. Why won't you join us? Or won't you join us? Or something along those lines. Okay, go. Who goes first?
Me.
All right, go for it, Randy.
Well, okay, so Dan?
Yes, dear.
What, was that your, like, I'm going to read
gonna
it
go?
Through so I see what
Dan,
it's about read? Or was that your audition?
That was my read through it to see what it's about read.
Oh, well, then that was fine.
Who's
okay. Now read it so we can coach you.
Somebody's talking? I don't know.
You know, that was the way I would read the script the first time for myself, just to see what the story is. But it's difficult to coach you without knowing how you would, you know, read it if it were for real, like what you would send in to the client. So you want to give it a real shot?
Oh, okay, sure. See, but this is where I get confused because that's the way I would talk it. That's the way I would say this.
Well,
but,
I have one question. Is it radio? Is it radio, TV, or web?
It does not say.
And that makes a huge difference.
They never tell.
And you know what? I'm sorry. I can't hear. I didn't hear a word that Randy said to you, so I have no idea if I'm repeating what she's saying or not. I don't know.
It was brilliant. Okay.
We'll just go with it.
Just go with it.
Yeah, the luxury that you have, Dan, is you know too much about the industry and how to relax, but there's a humility that's required, I feel, in the non-performance that the best of us, we know too much. We know how to relax. We know how to pause. We know how to, you know, respond. But we do this slick kind of fast throw-off that I feel that you're what happens when we're committed to the listener, to helping them understand something they don't know. It doesn't become that flip. And although it has to move, there's a slickness to you that is known. So I would say to you, Dan, you know too much. You've got to mess it up as a real person communicating, dirty it up a bit, and really lean into the desire to want to give the information. It felt, I know you were just reading it out there first off just to go, blah, 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 this is what it is. What are you going to do for me? It was relaxed in the right ways, but it was also announced in the right ways. And overall, it was known in the right ways as a voice performer. I would say that you need to mess up what you know and change up what your understanding of naturalization is.
Elaine?
Well, I was going to let you, I think that why don't we start, why don't you read it again, but make it okay. A TV commercial and know that a picture's worth 1,000 words and you're supporting it.
Okay.
And right. You're not the star, but, you know, but I understand the first read is to figure out what the heck is
okay. Said. All right. Take two. Wait a second. I have to use my EWABS clicker. Take two. All right. There are 1,440 minutes in the day. 1,440 minutes to work, love, sleep, play. Imagine what an extra 5, 10, or 20 minutes each day. So somebody just changed the copy on me. What is... George, you changed it on me. Somebody keeps jumping between these things, and now I can't see it.
Oh, you're reading it off. Oh, I thought you were reading it off the JPEG.
No. Oh. I'm just reading it off here.
George, well, now you're relaxed. All right. It's good.
George. But,
you got to laugh. Now you can read it for real. Okay.
Okay.
Take
okay.
Three.
Very good. Now, where is it here?
Scroll up.
Scroll up. Scroll up. No, 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 no. Chat room. No, it's not there. You keep changing the different.
It's above the chat room questions. It's above the break.
Oh, there it is. Okay, good. Yes. All right.
Back to your regularly scheduled program.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. All right.
Be great.
But hey, listen, I got dogs barking. I got a wife who thinks that you have to talk on the phone loud enough that they can hear you next door.
Yeah,
I know
baby.
How to relax.
Go
I have infinite patience.
Right. Go.
I can get into the moment here. Okay. All right. You know something? Mm-hmm. There are 1,440 minutes in the day. 1,440 minutes to work, love, sleep, play. Imagine what an extra 5, 10, or 20 minutes each day could mean for you. Imagine how it could change your life. Now, imagine a world where everyone had those extra minutes. Right now, we're helping the world's biggest cities give their residents those extra minutes back. We make order out of seeming chaos, and we help make cities make smart decisions about transit, decisions that save time and money for all of us. We are the change urban dwellers have been waiting for. Won't you join us? There's nothing worse than bad copy, though.
Okay.
Does Randy want to say something?
No, Elaine, you go first.
Well, I think, I mean, whenever you have the word imagine in a script, you have to imagine.
Imagine.
And this is a storyteller. We talked about styles before, and this is a storyteller style. And you have to imagine the story continuing on after the words. You know, and also they have the three sections to the copy, which is going to tell you the problem at the beginning, the body that tells you the middle, and then, you know, I'll give people an action at the end to do something. And you're also selling time. So I think that I like to boil things down into a sort of a simplistic style so that you can figure out what it is that your job is. And then you can build out and create this little world for yourself. And, you know, one thing that's kind of nice for people when they're working is I sometimes have them just turn the paper over and tell me a story. I'm going to have you do that. Just tell me a story what this is without using the words or feeling like you have to memorize it. But if you could boil it down into your own words, it could be 10 seconds worth. I don't care. It doesn't have to be 60. What are you really saying?
Well, you know, there's a lot of time that we have every day, but we'd like to save time and have the time to do more things. So there's this company that apparently helps cities and communities change their transit stuff so that you can have more time to get to where you're going and have more time for your life.
And good. Why does that matter?
Exactly. So the other thing to do is to take from that and say, even though that's what the story is, it doesn't mean as much to you personally. So you have to personalize that message. And what would make the difference? You talked about your wife a little while ago on the phone and other stuff. Maybe that's what it's about. So I think that most of the copy is about stuff that we have a hard time caring about it personally because it's someone else's words. And we have to find that way inside us to make it our own words to come out. And that's what, you know, and turning it over isn't about synopsizing the script so much as saying, you know, that I'm really busy. Today was a crazy day. I had trouble technologically getting on the site. You know, wouldn't it be nice if I can get some of those minutes back so we could spend more time together? That would be more of a personal story that I can relate to versus getting in traffic. Although I've been in plenty of traffic, I can relate to that. But I think that that's where I can take this moment of time and not have to go out and search and just say, what about today? So that would be one of my comments.
And one of my comments, just on the back end of that, I agree 100%. I wrote imagine. If you've got imagine written down three times as a repeat, it is a story. It is in a world. It is that in a relax. It is the storyteller that says to me, do you know what it's like to have an extra 10, 15, 20 minutes in a day when life is so crazy? And so when I, like Elaine, imagine to me is the selling point. But what we're selling is transit. Isn't that weird? And transit went by like it didn't matter. Like it was like, what are we? I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. You're talking about time. You're talking about you're selling transit that is so speedy and so great for you that it's going to save you time in your day. So you got to make sure when you get to it in the very last paragraph that I know that's what we're communicating, because I kind of lost it in there. The won't you join us should be said at the top end, so they're coming into the minutes thing. It's all about joining us to experience something as my group. So that might help you, Dan. I don't know. I mean, I would make you do all kinds of things. Like I'd make you do it in gibberish first, which is always fun. Watch people go a little bit to take the word away and express it to me in a non-language so that the word doesn't take on the word and let me know if I know what you're talking about, because then physically, emotionally, you have to give me your emotion, which I think was kind of what Elaine was talking about as well. You emotionally speaking about your wife and the dog made me laugh my butt off, and it made, you know, it was you. It's how you feel emotionally about time and what you have to do in your life.
Yeah,
that might be a fun exercise just to get you out of, word land.
And guess who has finally joined us from the fine Mile High community of Santa Clarita, California? My West Coast dad, Mark Cashman.
I cannot tell you how moronic I feel right now. I mean,
how come I can't hear them?
I'm on the other line with Anthony Gettig, who actually walked me through this. So Anthony is going to be an official a helper outer from now on.
Hey, he actually is the official helper.
Ellie, leave the hangout and come back in.
I'll talk to you soon.
Say what? Where?
Ellie, leave the hangout and come back in. Google Hangouts has your audio messed up. So just come out or leave and then come back in.
How do I leave?
We'll send you an invite.
Hang up.
We invited you in the first time.
Yeah. Hang up and Dan will invite you back.
Really? I'm afraid, but I'm going to try it.
Well, you can't hear anybody else. It's making it hard.
I don't blame you for being afraid.
Be afraid.
Congrats, by the way. Afraid. Everybody that's here tonight earns a badge of honor. Duff.
So, oh, Dan, can I jump in on this coaching too before we?
Sure, go right ahead.
Mark didn't get to hear it; he was busy in tech land. Boy, I know how you feel. Hi, yeah. Mark.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Great. You can hear me okay?
I can.
Thank you.
I can hear you now and then and everything.
I can't believe I made it.
So Dan was reading the script that he sent us, and Ellie Ray and Elaine have jumped in, and I'm just going to agree and add a couple of things to it as well, which is that...
Hey, Elaine.
I heard you judging the copy as you read it, because I don't know that the copy didn't suit Dan Leonard, the personality. But you could have played a character that cared more about this. So what I heard you doing was getting much more relaxed as you got further into it. It's kind of like, oh, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, that's the story. So you relaxed a little bit. But at the beginning, you were judging the copy. And as a result, you got a little Dr. Seuss on us. Where is it? To work, love, sleep, and play.
Which rhymes with
for
dead.
You know, I know you got you pitched up on a lot of places where there was no reason to, and that was when you weren't connected to the copy. To me, that's the first time that I noticed somebody's not really getting the story. So I'm really just piggybacking on what Elaine and Ellie Ray already said. I also like, you know, there are three imagines there. And each one is an opportunity to connect a little bit more to the listener and really know, like, what does it mean to get those extra minutes back? To do what? To hug your baby, to, you know, to have dinner on the table, to eat with your family instead of spending 10, 15 extra minutes on a train, crowded. What would you do to get those extra minutes back? So that's, you know, I love how both Elaine and Ellie Ray had you figure out whatever personal connection you can find to it, you have to find. But I could feel you getting there and then stepping back. Won't you join us? You know, there wasn't, you forgot to have a point of view about it, which is right. This would be awesome. If we could have 10 extra minutes in the day to sing our baby to sleep, wouldn't you like to have that? I want it. You want it. What if everybody could have it? So, you know, that's where to find that personal connection, either through you or the character you're playing, can really help. And then you'll avoid morphing into pitch lift when there's no reason for it. And that's when it sounded like you were reading instead of connecting, because you did the reading cadence, which got a little Dr. Seuss. But just in places, there were places where you connected and you pulled back.
Mark.
Mark didn't hear it, but
oh no, I
jump
no,
in I anyway.
Can you do a playback?
Well, I can read it again.
Okay,
we'll take one last shot at it, and then we can
give it your best shot, Dan.
Everything that Ellie said is right on the money. I mean that's it's the old what she said.
Okay, all right. Well, in that case, all right. Well, let me take three on this one. Where's my clicker? Take three. There are 1,440 minutes in the day, 1,440 minutes to work, love, sleep, play. Imagine what an extra 5, 10, or 20 minutes each day could mean for you. Imagine how it could change your life. Now, imagine a world where everyone had those extra minutes. Right now, we're helping the world's biggest cities give their residents those extra minutes back. We make order out of the seeming chaos, and we help cities make smart decisions about transit. Decisions that save time and money for all of us. We are the change urban dwellers have been waiting for. Won't you join us?
All righty. Well, just a quick question.
Yes.
Has everybody weighed in? Did Elaine weigh in? Did Ellie?
Yeah, everybody weighed in. Yes, heavy on my shoulders.
Wait. We're not giving our weight. I promise.
All right. Oh, I totally understand. All right. My initial take on this is, you forgot to breathe. I just heard you just chopping up your words here, and you know, the one thing I learned about breathing and conversationality is from Elaine, about breathing through your phrases and breathing to the end of your phrases. And if you just listened, if you just listened back to what you just did, there were a lot of these words were just chopped up and you were talking kind of like this, as opposed to just, again, being yourself, certainly. Also, one thing that I noticed is I felt it was a little too intimate. I just need some projection from you. When you get intimate, I'm a little bit off put. I want one guy talking to another guy. I don't, that intimacy is just a little bit, it's just too intimate from me. I need to hear your, I need to hear your strength. I need to hear your personality. I hear you pulling back way, 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 way back. Now it's possible that, that you've been pulled back up until this intake four, but I'm just, I'm not hearing you. And what Ellie said about you being you, I'm just not hearing you being you. Now, I know they say normal intonation, conversational, no radio DJs, et cetera. Just ignore that completely. I just need you to be you. I just need you to be you.
Okay.
All right. Now, there were just a couple of other things here.
Go for it.
You said, we're helping the world's biggest cities give their residents those extra minutes back. I don't think you need to emphasize that as much as you did.
Okay.
The world's biggest cities. That's yes, you're introducing that there, but you just hit me over the head with cities and I'm not exactly sure why. The other thing is I'm not hearing a smile. I'm just not hearing you smile. So I just need you to be more you. At least again, if I were directing you in this session, I need you to be more you. I need you to get back to Dan.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I would just add that, and Mark, you didn't hear the first one, which really was more like Dan, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I think you maybe overreacted to some of, not overreacted, but you reacted to some of the coaching you got from us. Mm-hmm. And what happened to my ears is you tried something different, which was a risk, which was great. But what you did was you stayed in the same place. I mean, there are moments in this script that should be intimate, but it shouldn't be intimate from start to finish without finding the beats and the difference between the problem and the solution and the call to action. So, you know, you started at a really interesting place and then you kind of stayed there and didn't find where the story changed. And that, and thus it became almost one note and choppy and breathy too. But I like that you took the risk.
I do too. And I agree with Randy. I think, you know, going that way from where you started, which was way more flip, I still think you need to mess it up. When I say mess it up, it's don't do what you know. You're a pretty smart guy. You've been doing this for a while. You know, and it's great. And that's fabulous. But the big risk is to really switch up the punctuation, the speed, the pitch, the volume on certain words. Pick any word. It doesn't matter what word it is. For you to help you technically, internally switch rhythm, that was performed in more than it was the first time round. And I like that performance in, because when we're responding to one another, you know, we're going, what are you talking about? Because this is the way that we communicate with one another. When we're driven to, we accelerate the vehicle internally. You went the opposite way, which I appreciate and I really, really like. But what it did, it took away your personality. It took away your emotional truth, so that if you loved something, and imagine if you had that extra time, why can't we feel what we say? Why can't we feel it? There's a little compression that happens right here. It's the beginning of the laugh, and the beginning of the cry right there. Like, it's right there, but just squeeze that little place, like let it compress, and that'll mess up your copy in a second and give you emotionally Dan, because you do that naturally.
See, now there's a reason that I chose this exercise with four different coaches, because I knew exactly what was going to happen. I saw this in my mind this afternoon.
You're a brave man, too. You are a brave man.
You really are, Dan.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I trust the women more than me.
Well, I have to say, I understand why Mark might not have liked the read, because it did have kind of your, I would thought, wow, that's your bedroom voice. Not that I would know personally.
Yeah.
Not really sexy. And then
It was the bedroom voice. It was the intimate voice.
Flatter. Yeah, I liked it. It got a lot flatter and contained, but you just, like Randy says, you can't stay there the whole time. Otherwise, it feels constipated and you need to go poop somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. the things you have to look at, Dan, also in the script like that, because it starts from your own personal little world, and then it gets bigger. So it says, what about this? But what if it went to cities? And right. So it has to grow, and that's part of the arc of that story. So yeah. It's taking it from each one of us can do something to make it bigger.
You know, Elaine is right about Elaine is definitely right about the build. It builds. It's got to build. Or at least we want to try to find the build, you know, wherever you possibly can. So after you have the statistic at the beginning, the number, and then you've got the two imagines, then you've got to turn around. There's your transition right now. Okay. So again, you're imagining, but then the transition is on right now. And the we're helping, we make order, we're the change. From that particular point, it's the corporate banner that you're waving. Would you try one? Try to kind of go back to take one and just give me more you and just project a little bit more,
okay.
A little bit more passion. I just felt you pulling back and way over controlled.
Okay. All right, one more, and then George, get ready for a break.
You got it.
We have a lot of questions from our wonderful
Scott
audience.
Break. A yes. Scott break at this point, yes.
I know. Okay. All right. Take four.
Four clicks. You can find it.
That's right. It's right there. Okay. All right. There are 1,440 minutes in the day. 1,440 minutes to work, love, sleep, play. Imagine what an extra 5, 10, or 20 minutes each day could mean for you. Imagine how it could change your life. Now, imagine a world where everyone had those extra minutes. Right now, we're helping the world's biggest cities give their residents those extra minutes back. We make order out of seeming chaos. And we help cities make smart decisions about transit. Decisions that save money and time for all of us. We're the change urban dwellers have been waiting for. Won't you join us?
Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you right now. I want you to go back and I want you to take the cell out.
Take the cell
out. You're trying to convince me. Right now, we're helping the world's biggest cities. Honest to God, I wouldn't lie to you. I'm telling you the truth. You got to believe me. I'm not bullshitting you. Take that cell out completely. Two, you said, and we're helping cities make smart decisions about transit. Mm-hmm. You haven't mentioned transit up until that point.
Neither have they.
But you got to introduce transit. It's not right. Smart decisions. It's smart decisions about transit. That's what you're introducing right at that particular point. Up until that point, you don't know what. Nobody knows what the fuck you've been talking about. Pardon my French. All right. So in this particular.
Hello, French.
Yes.
I agree, and I also think Dan. You know, many cooks will spoil broth for sure. But I think that you know, in a, like the kind of storyteller in you that it goes. In a world, you know, in that stupid in a world, and it says don't miss it. There is an in a world and don't miss it in this spot. The imagine. Those three imagines are part of the storyteller. There's a fascination and a wow. We hate numbers. Voicers hate numbers, and you're opening with a number. And so you're like, there are 1,004. You're stiff as shit. Like, it's like saying children laugh 400 times a day.
Can we say 1,440? Can we say 1,440?
Children laugh
1,440. It's like saying this is the year 2014. No, it's 2014. Can we say 1,440? Could we do that? Is that it can just relax it just a little bit?
My point is children laugh 400 times a day, and we laugh 15 times a day. That makes us go, holy shit. Really,
you laugh more than 15 times a day, though.
No, we don't.
No, voice talent.
She must have laughed more than 15 times in the last 10 minutes.
Voice talent laugh.
All right. Well, I'm going to call a halt to this one particular exercise. There's a great play that Mark wrote that talks, you know, what it's like in a session where you've got a pile of different people trying to just tell you what to do and just
every day of my life.
Every day, and you sit there and you're like, okay, and. And the trick is to just remain cool and do your job. So anyway, we're gonna take a break right now. I'm gonna collect my brain. We're here somewhere. And we'll be right back. And we'll take some of your questions here on East West Audio Body Shop. We'll be right back.
Et voilà, this is East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. Merci. Et maintenant, back to the show.
Well, we're back here on East West Audio Body Shop and our first ever and maybe last ever.
This is awesome. This
audio, is no, not audio masters, voice acting masters roundtable. We've got Mark Cashman actually with us now and Randy Kay and Ellie Ray, which I've been wanting to say Randy Kay and Ellie Ray all day.
Yay. You made my day.
And Elaine Clark joining us from San Francisco, and we were just having a good time with this. But I think it's time all of you who have been so patiently waiting out there to ask your questions, now you get the chance. And now George gets the chance to talk and ask the questions while I sit here. And
yeah, you need to take a breather, my friend.
Yes.
All right. Well, the first question we've got in the queue here came from Patrick Sweeney, and he says, I'd like to hear each panelist chime in. Oh, boy. Do we have time for this? I'd like to hear each panelist chime in on what their definition of conversational reads is.
In 20 seconds or less. Yeah. I mean, as conversational a tone as possible.
Elaine first.
Go with Elaine. Elaine first.
Okay. It's having a dialogue with the listener rather than thinking of your script as a monologue. Reacting to something, coming up with sentences or questions or comments that would be in between the lines so that you're making it more believable. Having movement in your body so it's not just, you know, standing and reading the copy where you don't ever move. Because we move when we talk. So you need that movement. You need that to act like you're answering a question and commenting on something, that you're making it an engaging conversation with words you would never, ever say in your own life.
Well said. Ellie Ray.
Very well said.
I would think it would be probably authentic responding with mental, physical, spiritual action in the voice.
Okay. Mark? Wow.
Jeez Louise.
Marinate on that.
Oh, Ellie Ray. It's absolutely brilliant. What's Randy have to say?
Randy?
Are we skipping you then?
You can think about it for a second or two.
All right.
Dodging that bullet for a second.
I would add on, because I absolutely agree with what both Elaine and Ellie Ray said, but I would say that conversational doesn't always mean casual. That's what my students who say conversational, oh, it means I'm nonchalant and I don't care. It means natural for the situation. So there's a different kind of conversational in a job interview when we're very careful about what we say and we speak in complete sentences and we try to make a point and support it. And then there's casual when we're having a few glasses of wine with our friends. And so you have to figure out what the situation is and decide what kind of conversational suits the copy. With that said, we don't speak the way we read. we don't speak choppy. We speak a thought is a breath and a breath is the thought. And every phrase that comes out of our mouth is because we want something or we're reacting to something or we're thinking something different. And we use sounds and tempo changes and, pitch changes in a natural way because of what we want to emphasize, as opposed to reading when the words are in front of us and we go into ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. So in conversational, you allow yourself to have the sounds and the tempo changes and the emotional changes that happen in a real conversation with another human being, the end.
Yeah, just picking up what Ellie just, what Randy just said, particularly about tempo changes. The thing is that the way we talk, we sometimes stutter, we stammer, we chop up our words, we make points, we take a beat. We never talk in a rhythm. We always talk in some kind of a cadence. And I'd say probably one of the best ways to sound conversational is to not read all the words in a row as if you say, oh boy, I can read all these words on the page and get them all off the page and just go in an order, ba 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 ba, and just keep on going until the very, very end. But that's not how we talk. That is not how we talk at all. Sometimes, depending upon the copy, you can actually enhance some of the copy sometimes with little words and phrases that we use all the time. I call it the glue that holds our conversations together. Little phrases like you know, or you see, or so, or well, or hey, or whatever the case may be. If they pop in, I call it enhancing copy. I'm not talking about changing the copy. I'm just talking about just enhancing the flavor of it. My best analogy is you go to a restaurant and you order steak and potatoes and vegetables. Everything comes out perfectly, but the potatoes could use a little butter and salt, and the veggies could use a little pepper, and the steak could use a little steak sauce. You're enhancing the flavor of it. And so if the copy, if it's appropriate to enhance the copy a little bit, I suggest you doing that, because most people won't. Most people will read everything on the page as if it were engraved in stone, and it's not always engraved in stone. And so I find that the actors who I like to work with best as a producer are the ones who bring more to the table, who give me a read that they come out basically sounding better than what they went in with. And they're not afraid to do that. They've got the temerity to change it a little bit, to ad-lib just a little bit, again, only if it's appropriate. And once it is appropriate, you just need to be judicious. But I don't know if I really answered the question. I think I answered the question. How do you sound more conversational? You just sometimes have to add a little bit to the copy to make it sound conversational instead of just working with that copy as it is. That's not for every piece of copy. And some copy does not lend itself to being enhanced or...
The bigger the budget, the less you better enhance it. I can tell you that. Yeah. Shelley Avellino, question for the gals. Do you agree that men are still dominating the industry? 5 question marks.
Yes.
All you have to do is see everybody nod their head. Yes. But it's changing.
Yes, I'm going to give one example of exactly big international McDonald's television on hold to lip sync a chicken, literally, to sit there and match the bucks, the of the chicken, and then do the McDonald's da 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 da, the sting, right? It went to a man. It's a female, a hen, a chicken is a female. I was like in a rage. I was like, God!
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
I got hold and it was like, you can't tell the difference between my buck and his buck, and it's a female, and it should go to a female. You're
a buck and buck, yes, absolutely.
The buck and buck of the bucks, yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bought a box, but not.
I think that's bucked.
Yeah.
All right. Nathan Cundiff says, doesn't the advent of podcasting change things up a bit too?
What things?
Podcast for
not
what?
Sure.
Yeah. I saw that one and I wasn't quite sure what he was talking about either.
Just ask them if they can qualify that question.
Yeah. Maybe you can throw another note in the chat room.
And while they're putting that in the chat room, I just want to add this PS onto the men dominating. I think it depends on what field.
Yeah.
You know, movie trailers, sure, if they're even using voices trailers, anymore. Definitely. But, you know, there are certain fields that are female dominated. If you listen to Lifetime Network, it sounds like it's all females. Yeah. So
it is pretty much
really depends on which area.
HGTV,
it is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Anna Senny says, I'm sorry, I cut you off, Elaine.
Well, I was just going to add to that because there are definitely more women doing things than they used to be. That's the good part. But whatever we do in voiceover, it reflects society. So if we have more female CEOs, more people, you know, a female president, you know, certain female positions that are a higher level, the voiceover business has to rise to that occasion too. So right now it's, you know, it's not like that. So we are reflecting society. We are not changing the world on our own. So as soon as the world levels out, then this business will be leveled out. But it's changed a lot in the last 30 years. There was only 10%. So that's quite a difference now. We're maybe at 35% now. So
except
good.
For chickens.
I bought like a chicken in the 80s.
I play a lot of male roles too, so I can't, you know.
The guy's got to make a buck.
Anasani says, or Anasani, sorry, I'm just ruining that name. I have a question too. Do you feel the idea of the union is overrated since there is now such a huge pool of work for non-union? Do you think new VO actors should consider just staying non-union, or does the union have its benefits and get you better work? And her follow-up question is, do you prefer Mac or PC? No, I'm just kidding about the last part. She didn't say that.
The first one had you pulled the pin on the first one, George. So let's
just kidding. No, I added that on. But anybody want to tackle that?
Did you say
one?
Mac?
Yeah, can we answer the Mac or PC question?
No. That's an easier question.
That's a George question. Get out of here.
Darn.
Anybody want to? I know we could. That's a whole show.
That's a kind of a sticky question, and this that's one of my students, so I'm not going to touch it.
Well, I can go ahead and answer that. The way I feel is we need the union, and every non-union actor needs the union because there's a governing force that's establishing what the rate of pay is so that we know and where our standards are. And it's some people will never be in the union. And other ones who are in the union need to subsidize their work another way as well. It's so I think it'll be there when people are ready for it, and not everyone will be ready for it.
So I'll weigh in, and basically I agree with Elaine. You know, it's nice for somebody to establish a set of, you know, minimum scale. My biggest concern, though, with the union, and has been for a number of years, is I know a number of people who are union talent, have done animated series, are owed tens of thousands of dollars in residuals, and the union does not go to bat for them. The union does not go after the companies that are owed that owe them the money. And I always thought that that's what the unions were for. Was to go to bat for you. And I'm just hearing from a lot of my colleagues that they're being screwed over by major companies, big, huge video game companies and animation companies that will remain nameless, but everybody knows who they are, and they're stiffing our colleagues, people who worked and did stuff. And I thought, I just don't understand why the union isn't going to bat for them. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
And so, I think that happens in non-union work as well.
Non-union work, obviously, it happens because you have no recourse. You're screwed. I mean, you sign a non-union thing and they
can
use
it. I can honestly say in 35 years, I've never been screwed for money with the union.
That's great.
That's in Canada. And I've done hundreds of animation series.
That's wonderful. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, but we don't have residuals. We have a buyout. So it's a bit different, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I get to ask the next one.
Go ahead.
Okay.
All right. Karen O'Brien says, they talk about this trend of upspeak and whether it's to be avoided or used in your work?
Oh, who's weighing in on that one? All everyone, we're going to be fighting to get this one.
I don't know if I want to answer that. I don't really like the way upswing is. Upswing is, and I never use it.
Never?
Because I think it makes me sound so authoritative.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like, because if you're somebody who's like actually knows what you're talking about, you'll end with a statement rather than a kind of a question.
Right.
Well, it is a question.
I think it's only, to me, I don't know that there's an uptalk trend. I think there's a character that may speak in uptalk. Used to be Valley Girls back in the day, but certainly an insecure teenager would speak in uptalk. But I find it incredibly annoying. And it must be used sparingly, if at all.
Uptalk is viral. Uptalk has gone absolutely viral. It used to be Valley Girl, then it was California Upspeak or Uptalk, then it was American Upspeak and Uptalk, and now it has gone viral everywhere in the world. Chinese people speaking Chinese have Upspeak. Everything ends up there, up here, it's up, it's constant. However, here's the thing with Upspeak. It's part of our language. It's here to stay. It's part of the vernacular. We are not getting rid of it. I always tell my students, control upspeak. You should control upspeak. Don't let it control you. You should be able to hear it when you're doing it, take it out when you want, put it in when you want. There are some appropriate, if you listen to commercials, and I mean seriously listen to commercials, I would say a good 30, 40% of them have upspeak in it. The talent's doing it. The director doesn't even realize they're doing it. The advertiser has no clue that they're doing it. It's there. It's everywhere. It's like Chicken Man.
He's everywhere.
It's everywhere. So upspeak's here to stay. There's no question about it. But we just have to be cognizant of it and use it judiciously. I keep going back to that same word.
Well, I think what's really important, if people are going to use it, it makes it, if you're doing a TV commercial especially, having upspeak in a spot makes it extremely difficult for the editor to cut the bits and pieces apart.
They don't even hear it.
Something, rather than saying, here's a statement, here's a picture, here's a statement, here's a picture. Otherwise, here's a statement, here's a picture, you're not really sure what it is, it doesn't really work. And it also is a sign of insecurity oftentimes, and you want to sound like a winner. Every time you're out there, you are the authority. This is what makes voiceover so fabulous, that we always get to win.
But Elaine, I'm telling you, Elaine,
we get to win.
Elaine, if you really listen to commercials, you will hear upspeak everywhere.
There are a lot of bad spots out there. I can guarantee you that.
National spots that cost a fortune to make, and they put that in there. That again, they don't even hear it. They don't even hear it. But I totally agree with what you're saying. You don't sound authoritative. You undercut your authority. You sound like an idiot, or you sound like you just don't know what you're talking about. But at the same time, and everybody does it, not just kids. I hear adults doing it all the time. And it's here to stay. We just have to be cognizant of it and control it. That's
all. Our job as coaches. We're going to eradicate it from the world.
The eradicator.
Damn it.
Amy Fisher says, my voice changes so much morning till night. Should I try and record at those times to match?
Are you a male or female?
Amy, this is a woman. Yeah, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Really?
It doesn't matter whether it's a male or female. It does change throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're working on long-term projects, you should always record at the same time, whether it's a morning session or an afternoon, because as soon as you do, it's going to be a little tiny bit of change that you know, won't match. And some people's voices go higher throughout the day and other ones drop in pitch throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And you have to be aware of that. One of the things I tell my students to do is like record their voice, every hour, for a day, and then see how it changes. See whether, and then play the 7 a.m. voice, play the noon voice, play the 3 o'clock, and play the 7 p.m. Wow. voice, and just see what differences you're here. So it's quite remarkable.
Ladies, Ellie Ray, Randy, what have you noticed?
I just, obviously in the morning, your vocal cords haven't been used all night because you've been sleeping, unless you talk in your sleep right. a lot, or you right. snore and your ad notes are causing a lot of stuff. So your cords are going to be more relaxed in the morning, and so are all of your articulators as well. Your tongue is going to be a little bit thicker. Everything's going to be a little bit thicker because you've been resting it and it hasn't been moving. So if you know that you have to do an early record, or you do record in the morning, get up earlier and make sure that you're warmed up and ready to go. I mean, and if at night you know that you don't have the structure required, that you might, I find by the end of the day, my voice is tired by the end of the day.
Absolutely.
All day.
Absolutely.
You've got to rest it. That's what you want to try and get things done when you're at your optimum. And that's not always possible. So you've got to work towards getting your pitch and your tone and your rhythms and everything else, your articulators, where you want them to be matching. Maybe something you have to match, particularly if it's for a recurring character or whatever. But
technically, don't our vocal cords stretch throughout the day, so that by the time we get to the end of the day, our voice is just naturally a little bit thinner and a little bit higher? Am I wrong about that?
No, I think what happens if you're slamming your cords together, like if I'm doing some of my aggressive animation and anime stuff, it's like clapping your hands. You'll get like they just get it swells up, right? So I feel that it gets lower for me. That's at the end of the day, but that's just me. If you're relaxing your voice all day and you're not overusing it, your voice should stay kind of clear, you know, unless you're screaming all day long, and then you're in trouble.
Right, and I would add, as someone who was a musical theater person before getting into voiceovers as much, the singing exercises helped me a great deal. You know, there's the kind of things where, especially those lip trills that bring your voice forward and relax your vocal cords so they're not slamming against each other so much. We abuse our vocal cords so much by getting volume from the wrong place if we need volume in voiceover, where often we don't. But you're right, our cords do get thicker, they get tired, just like clapping your hands. So, you know, warming up every so often with really easy vocal exercises, and also drinking a lot of water helps a great deal. And also, you know, your mouth gets tired. I've done 3-hour e-learnings, and at the end, I can't say organization. Like, my mouth doesn't want to say the word. So you have to, you know, actually just over-articulate, take a break, massage your jaw muscles, anything you can do if you're exhausted from long sessions to get your voice where it needs to be. But singing and tongue twister warm-ups help a great deal to keep your voice a little more as consistent as it can be.
And another really, really excellent, I mean, it's everybody's soft palate gets all wrecked. It gets, if it's overused, if it's underused, the soft palate acts up. So what you want to do is you want to yawn, yawn, yawn. Imagine a grapefruit being lodged down the back of your instrument where your soft palate lifts up. So extend the yawn as far as you can. Don't let the yawn close. Like, literally keep the yawn open. And what you'll do is you'll get all this levity from inside the instrument. And like Randy said, water is key. If you really find that I've got the little ice. They're ice packs. I literally put them on my larynx because my vocal folds are inside there underneath the cartilage, literally to try and shrink my tissue. I have done that. I have resorted to that. I've resorted to all kinds of crazy things to try and get my instrument and gear. Yeah.
All right.
Your larynx?
Larynx.
Yes, your larynx.
Yes. Don't let me get Joel Bernstein on here.
Don't make you push your larynx down.
That's right. Alrighty. Well, this is possibly one of the best conversations we've had on this show.
No doubt.
By far the most opinionated, because this is the most opinion we've had on here. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back, answer a few more questions, and try and wrap things up right after this.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
You're watching East West Audio Body Shop with Dan Leonard in the East and George Whittam in the West. They're nice guys, but every time I'm there, they never let me make water. So I'm going to go make water right now. I'm a grown man.
All right.
That's a new one.
That's Larry Davis.
That is not yet.
Or Martin Freeman. We had to pay a lot for that one. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about my good friend Harlan Hogan here. Because when you're in the voiceover business you need technology, you have to have lots of tools. And you want to be able to reach into your toolkit and get all the right things to make just the right sound in your studio. And sometimes it doesn't take a nail file or a knife, but you have all of these different things that you need to make your home voiceover studio perfect. And the one place to go is, of course, VoiceOver Essentials, where our good friend Harlan Hogan has done the entire selection process for you. He's got the Signature Series VO1A microphone, a great studio condenser microphone that you are actually listening to my actual voice on as you are listening to it. Does that make any sense? No, but... Well, also, there's also the Harlan Hogan VO1A, not the VO1, the Signature Series headphones, which are not here right now. This is another pair of headphones. So
it's my favorite commercial ever.
Yes. What happens is the other headphones just unplug. The Harlan Hogan ones don't. But as you're looking at the wonderful things he has there, the prices are great. The best part about it is the customer service. He guarantees everything he sells.
Forgot the sign behind you.
What's that? And of course, the sign behind me, the voiceover recording sign. Now, of course, I've modified mine to change colors, but his, you can put a different bulb in there. But it's a great little thing to have. You put it outside the door. You turn that on. If anybody walks in, you can throw the knife at them from my little toolkit.
Hey, I rigged up an on-the-air sign, and I have to say I've trained my 5-year-old to understand that when that's on, daddy's on the phone or you know, on the air, and she's paying attention to it.
I'm surprised there isn't a Harlan Hogan Swiss Army knife. I mean,
that's what it was.
The only thing he hasn't branded.
Well, we'll just have him sign this one, and it'll become his official brand, and that'll be it. Anyway, go over to voiceoveressentials.com, buy your stuff there because that's the best place to buy it. Thank you, Harlan, who's been with us all 139 episodes of East West Audio Body Shop.
Thank you, Dan, buddy. I think you needed to read that spot like you just did the spot for.
There is nothing more fun than doing live spots, especially for donut places.
Donut.
That's right. Anyway, so let's continue on here, and we've got there's one great question here.
We got 3 minutes left.
We got 3 minutes left. Are they going to turn us off?
No.
Steve Gonzalez has a great question here because I think this is appropriate for this particular gathering. What would you say is the difference between the East flavor of coaching versus the West flavor of coaching?
Ooh.
Heather Ray,
what about the Canadian flavor of coaching? What about
not the Northern people up here.
Yeah.
You go first then, Ellie Ray.
Hey man, you know what? I am Canadian. Once you've had a Canadian, you're just not going to go anywhere else. That's all I can say. You know, we're frosty when we need to be, and we're warm when we need to be. You'll learn to love us real fast. Opinionated, we're bad buggers. Look out! No, I think that we're covered east, west, north, south. I think that we've all got the right idea. We just use a slightly different language, but it's actually coming from the same place. That's what I think. I think we are all a team. Like I said before, we're stronger together than we are apart. I think that we all understand this, east, west, north, south. We know what truth is. We know what response is. We know that That's no monologues, there's only dialogues, and that we share through emotional truth. And I think that that's a commonality among storytellers. And we want to change the vibration of the planet through, you know, the levity with which we bring word to life. That's why we do what we do.
And wow.
Teach, I think. I don't know.
Who's going to follow that?
Here.
Nobody.
I was going to say that.
I'm all about the
I can
vibration.
Add, I can add one thing.
It's just...
She's an honorary Santa Monican.
Come up with it. Tell you,
Ellie Ray, are you from Santa Monica?
I want to be an honorary American.
Are you from Santa Monica, Ellie Ray? You're my people.
I'm your people, baby. I want to be in Santa Monica. You have no idea. I still have 7 feet of snow out here.
Anybody else have any on that?
Randy, you're as far east as they go.
Elaine has something to say.
All right, Elaine, you go first.
Yeah, I think that what we all possess are good ears, and that's what we're trying to give our students, the ears that we've developed over time and from doing a lot of jobs and from doing coaching, so they can hear the stuff that's wrong. It needs to be fixed. So it's most people just think it's all about talking, which we have to do. But as soon as our ears can hear, whether it's truthful or hitting all the different marks, that's when we have something special, and we're all we're lending our ears to other people. Sort of, not literally, but yeah.
Another eloquent response. I just figured because of the internet, there's no north, south, east, west anymore. Okay. Because of the conventions that we've been doing and stuff like that, there's no geography anymore. It's absolutely astounding. The level of talent that's all over the world, helping the level of other talents all over the world. I don't think there's any east, west, north, south, anything. It's everybody brings their own sensibility and their own experience and way of communicating. That's the thing that I find absolutely the most astounding thing. I could listen to Elaine, and I can listen to Ellie, and I can listen to Randy, and every one of you, I'm saying yes, yes, of course, yes, yes, absolutely, yes. We're all saying the same thing, but we say it differently. We're all able to communicate in different ways. People respond to different people in different ways. That's the beauty of this. It's absolutely incredible. And then you have somebody like Dan who gets everybody together.
Yeah.
And George, who gets it, makes it all work.
And Catherine,
well, you've got to have George.
And Catherine, who called all
George,
y'all.
This not wouldn't have even happened, which is crazy.
I got the Chrome going on, man.
That's right. What's your dog's name?
Well, wow.
Wow, I just want to sing kumbaya.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh, 10 years in summer camp. What can I tell you?
Yeah, really.
Alrighty. Well, all right. Maybe it is time to stick a fork in this one, George. You gotta. We have a few announcements, but we do want to thank our wonderful guests here. Mark Cashman for finally tuning in.
Thanks for inviting me. Appreciate
getting
it.
In here. Elaine Clark, Ellie Ray, and Randy Kay. The names just flow together.
Yes, right, I talk.
Like butter.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. We could do it, the Dr. Seuss with Upspeak.
This is true.
Randy Kay and Ellie Ray.
Yes, and don't forget Clark. Don't forget Clark and Mark.
Oh, Clark and Mark. Oh, right.
By the way, if you say my name three times fast, you'll sound like a hair-lipped dog.
I'm not. Are we gonna try it?
Are we all gonna try this now?
I don't even want to think about it.
I'm gonna try it. He hasn't been on the hot plate enough.
Yes. Anyway, we have a couple of announcements here, and then we'll let everybody go to bed, I guess. Let's see. First off, our donors, Eric Aragone, thank you as usual. A bunch of other you guys, you can donate to the show right above. where my head is, it says donate. You click on that. And have we fixed that one yet, George?
Somebody donated a subscription at $10 a month, so I guess we've got all right. fixed. I don't know, but thank you guys for doing that. All right. Spread the word about...
The torque board is really starting to light up now.
Just spread the word about the show to your friends, ewabs.com. I mean, please tell everybody, if you're a YouTuber and you love being in the YouTube world, then, you know, subscribe to our channel, youtube.com/ewabsshow, one word. And just, you know, again, spread the word. And I hope you guys get to tune in and watch our April 21st, third anniversary show, which should be a good time with a lot of people chiming in. It's going to be even more loose than tonight. It's going to be just a fun hang. It's going to be like tonight.
Oh,
plus
my God.
Tonight plus alcohol. Tonight plus alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. A little alcohol.
Yeah.
So we had three loose women tonight. Is that how loose it was?
We had three guys.
I'm still stuck on the dog with the hair lip thing.
Mark Cashman.
Mark Cashman.
No, just Mark. Just Mark.
Mark. We will not be here next week. We have done, what is this, like 16 shows in a row, George?
Yeah, man.
We have done every show since the beginning, every Monday night since the beginning of the year. Much to the consternation of our spouses, and our children. But we're going to take a week off next week because I'm going to be traveling out to California, where I get to go hang out with all my California friends, and celebrate Passover out there. And hopefully things won't rock around the way they did a couple days ago. And I think that's going to do it for us. So anyway, thanks to all our guests for being here tonight. This was fabulous.
This is just what I wanted to have tonight.
Thank you to Anthony Geddick
for getting Mark on the air tonight and our chat room monitor.
Absolutely.
Jack DeGallia for our show notes and doing all that stuff for us so you guys know what's going on in these shows. Lee Penny for getting the podcast out there. Catherine Curtin for getting all these guests on. Jason Lawson, who's been helping us for almost 3 years, who's getting well right now. Thank you, everybody. It's been a lot of fun.
And ladies, when I see you next time, I'm taking you all out for a drink.
Yee-hoo!
Party time.
Cool.
All right.
Coming down.
All right. Come on down.
In Santa Monica.
We're spending Monica in Santa Monica. All right.
I'm going back to Kumbaya. Okay.
Anyway, and a thanks, of course, to our wives who put up with this every single week.
Yahoo!
And love every second of it.
See you guys in Vegas. Whoever's in Vegas, I'll be there tomorrow through Thursday night, Friday morning. So I'll be at the Vegas Hangout. And Thursday night.
Dave Corvazier.
Will do.
Is that the NAB?
I'll be walking the floor with Lee Penny, shooting video, interviewing people, and it's going to be fun.
That'll be fun. Say hello to Dave for us.
I will. Mr. Corvo.
Dave.
Ellie Ray, stay warm.
He was there for a short bit tonight. Yes.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for us tonight, unless you want more. But anyway, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Woodham in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you in 2 weeks in California.
Good night.
Thanks, guys. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.